Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me in studio today, it's Natalie Cuomo. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. Now, let's kick it over to the studio and talk to Natalie. Good morning, Carlson casters. Welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Very happy you decided to join us. Thank you to everybody who is tuning in right now on Facebook Live. As always, the voicemail and the text line is open. You can text your questions at 585-484-0265. Thank you, those. For those of you who are listening to us on your podcast platform of choice, do me a favor. Give me a rate and review, would you please? I need to welcome my guest to the studio today. She's amassed hundreds of thousands of followers over social media, including Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and Twitch. She's currently touring the country performing stand-up, and her comedy album, Shut Up, You Loved It, debuted number one on iTunes. She's going to be right here at the Carlson for four more shows this weekend. Could you help me, folks at home, please clap for Natalie Cuomo.
That was a great intro. Thank you.
I'm trying.
I love that. That was great. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to Rochester, Natalie.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not clear on something, so help me out here.
Yeah.
We had you scheduled last fall, and you were coming to town as part of a tattoo expo?
Yeah, so I was performing at this tattoo convention.
Okay.
And while I was up here, I was going to do a show, and it just wound up getting moved. So it wound up being a blessing, because now I'm here for a full weekend.
I know. I was going to say, like, you ended up, like, this worked out really, really well. Now we get to spend a whole weekend with Natalie Cuomo right here. Now, folks, just a reminder, the tickets are on sale now, carlsoncomedy.com. You could grab them now. But before we get too far into things, I want to tell you, I really admire what you've built.
Oh, and thank you. Why.
It's not, I don't care about social, I'm not a big social media guy. I work on here, we're broadcasting live to Facebook Live. I'm not super impressed all the time by social media, but you've done something that a lot of people have not been able to do. And I really want to commend you, because there's lots of things that you seem to be interested in. Like, for example, tattoos. For example, video gaming. For example, motorcycles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have found ways to bring all the things that you like and bring them and amass them into what your career is.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people can do that. Did you have like a vision board going? How did you accomplish this?
Interesting. I don't have like an actual vision board, like something at home. I'm just not that organized. But I think that when I like something, I definitely get tunnel vision. Like, it's all I can focus on and all I can think about.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think, I guess that's kind of how it worked out.
So you just kind of went, okay, I like this. I'm going to do a whole lot with this.
Yeah.
Okay. So you do stand up, obviously. You're going to be here for four shows. When did you first start seeing stand up in your life? When were you first exposed to it?
When I was first exposed to stand up, I loved watching Jim Gaffigan with my dad when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like that. I loved that. I loved watching like late night shows with him. And I always loved performing. Like, I was, I took acting classes since I was like a little kid.
Okay.
So that was always a very big part of my life. And I think I just always knew that if it was writing my, I always knew that like I want to express myself via performance.
Okay. That's interesting. Like, at what age do you feel like you were kind of figuring that out? A teenager, like little kid, or?
So, in like when I was like super young, when I was in kindergarten, I was like afraid of the auditorium. I was actually like a very anxious kid. And but then I did this play, The Hungry Caterpillar, and I was a pear.
Okay.
That I loved it so much. Like, I just was obsessed with it. My mom was like, oh my God, I should sign her up for an acting class. So I took like an acting class, and I was obsessed. I was like just obsessed with acting. That was like my life. So I don't know.
There's something interesting there. You said you were afraid of the auditorium?
I was like afraid of crowds. Generally, I won't go to like, I don't like being in a crowd. And now I'm fine, but I was just a very anxious person.
You prefer to be on the stage with the microphone as opposed to sitting in the crowd.
I get like claustrophobic, I'm anxious, and something about like performing makes my nerves go away.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like the opposite of most people.
It is. I'm weird.
That's fine. I mean, be weird. I love weird. Weird's the best thing you could possibly be, but it's just interesting that acting was the first kind of goal that her then.
It was, and then I sort of realized that I wanted to write my own material, and I found confidence in kind of like the falling on your face that comes with stand-up. Like being able to bomb and get back up, that's kind of how I found who I am as a person.
It does kind of make you feel like the Terminator, doesn't it? It really puts you down. You just keep getting back up and going.
Yeah, that's just how you grow. That's just like how you find yourself. Like there's nothing, I mean, there's nothing more embarrassing than just like saying something that's not funny at all to a room full of people and it's just being silent and all the people that you respect the most and you're like, all right, I got to get back to work.
It's a very humbling feeling, but I do appreciate the fact that you consider it to be empowering because a lot of people don't. People think, like I said, the exact opposite.
It's funny. I think the most successful people in the world understand that success comes with failure and failure is the scariest thing. But that's what people mean by taking risks is failing.
Yeah. The only way to really get good at something is to fail at it a bunch of times.
Yeah. People will be like, oh, what's your advice for someone starting off in stand-up? And I'm like, you're going to suck and accept that.
Yeah. Well, I need to know this now. So acting, you're young, you're working your way up, you're watching stand-up, you're exposed to it on television. At what point did you pull the trigger and decide I'm going to write the stand-up act?
I had kind of given up on acting and I was just sort of like living my life. I was working at a coffee shop and I was just like, I don't feel like, and I had been working on a stand-up act, and I was kind of just like practicing it for my family on Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And one day I was just
Doing sets on Thanksgiving?
One Thanksgiving I did a set, which is very cringe, I know. And then one day I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do stand up. And like, I went to one open mic. It was canceled. I walked to another the same day. It was canceled. And then I finally got to go to a third one and I bombed. But I went to a mic every single day since then.
And you
then.
Didn't even get turkey after that one.
I know. They were like, you are so bad. You don't get turkey.
No leftovers. I find that so interesting though. Like, you perseverance. You started off just fighting your way through it because it wasn't going your way out of the gate. And I feel like that's kind of opposite to a lot of people's experiences because some people have told me that the first time they get on stage, they just murdered. And then the second time is what got them. Telling me the first couple times it wasn't good.
I'd say maybe the second time I felt a lot better. But the first time I went on stage, I talked super fast because I was so nervous. I just remember it being like, whew. It was a nerve-filled experience.
The 5 minutes turned to 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a New York comic, and coming up in New York, it takes a lot to get seen and to get noticed. I mean, how did you accomplish this? I mean, was it the doing things outside of stand-up that helped you kind of build up an audience?
No, I'm from New York, so I feel like I have like that New York hustle. Like I went to a mic every single day, and then I started doing shows every day, started producing my own show, and I felt like during the pandemic I was like doing shows outside. I think like being from New York, I had this dedication to stand up and to genuinely like anything I did because of just being someone from New York. There's just a fast pace and a dedication that like you don't have in other places.
Well, they say the city doesn't sleep, and if you want to make it in comedy in New York, you probably can't either. I mean, I've been to New York millions of times, and just to see how like little time open you get in an open mic or little time you get doing things like that to really establish yourself in the New York scene. It's hard work, folks. It's really impressive.
Thank you.
It is. I mean, how many people move to New York to become stand-up comics every year?
Yeah.
I mean, a minimum number, I would say, is at least 500 to 1,000 people every year. Am I crazy?
I mean, I don't know. I guess a lot of people have a dream. To me, it's just about working hard. It's like, it's about time, and it's about like, it's just like, how much time are you willing to put into this and how badly do you want this? Like, I'm an obsessive person. So when I want something, I'm going to put every single second of my time into it.
Okay. Well, that's definitely a trait that I know a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have tunnel vision. A lot of people aren't obsessive. A lot of people go into it for the laughs and the experience. What do you say to those people? Get out of my way.
I think everyone should just like it. I think everyone deserves to be happy. So if it's bringing you joy, then, you know, enjoy yourself.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you told me your first bombing experience. Tell me when you felt like things started getting good for you. Tell me, was there a time when you were on stage where you realized like, yeah, I'm kind of figuring this out?
I think this year I really started to feel things come together for myself. Like, I recorded my first album this year, so that was a really big moment for me when I felt like I really created a community of people that came together and enjoyed my stand-up and like the things that I do, and I was able to be like, wow, like I felt really good because I felt like I was really like speaking to people.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was using my own voice on stage instead of like a stage voice. And then things started to feel like they were really clicking for me.
That's interesting. Do you have kind of that feeling of, I spent so many years trying to accomplish this, that maybe that recording of your stand-up special was like you sticking your head out of the tunnel that you dug and looking back and realizing, wow, I made a lot of progress?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because you're like, wow, I never would have expected to be here like a year ago. But I'm here and I need to like take a moment to feel grateful for it.
You were boots on the ground during the pandemic in New York City. Could you tell me a little bit about what it was like trying to get any stand-up going? Were people resistant to like coming to stuff? I mean, there's so many people in New York that...
I think people definitely wanted to go outside, but it wasn't easy. Like you just got heckled by like... trains and cars, and it's just not fun or easy to be outside doing stand-up because it's freezing out. You're wearing a jacket. The audience is freezing. Like, the sound's just going into space. Like, so much of comedy is, like, the acoustics and, like, hearing the laughter come back in the room. So definitely makes you stronger. I think a lot of that was, like, learning how to create your own opportunities and, like, producing your own...
Yeah.
Shows or doing Zoom shows and finding your own ways to keep doing what you love.
Yeah. And I mean, if I was in your position, mm-hmm. I would have been twitching it up every day. I would have just been sitting on Twitch playing video games. I mean, that's what I would have done. But I don't know if I would have gone. I didn't really do a lot of stand-up during the pandemic just because of the fact that it didn't feel like it was really doing stand-up. But
yeah.
I really am thankful for the people who went out there and did perform and did entertain, because I wasn't one of them. I was such a bum.
I felt like, well, so I would do these Zoom shows that were twice a week, and it was a pretty regular returning audience. And because of that, it kind of forced me to write. I feel like a lot of my material I wrote during the pandemic because I was forced to write because of that. And it is awkward doing like a Zoom show.
Yeah.
You're just, it, there's nothing more uncomfortable, but I think discomfort is just such a blessing. And especially for stand-up, especially in a situation where you want to make someone laugh.
Sure. Now, the material that you were writing during the pandemic, how much of it has worked over, transitioned into what you're doing? Or did you just kind of, that was for Zoom, now I'm back on stage?
I'd say there's probably 2 jokes from the pandemic in my album.
Okay.
And then... obviously that's material that I'm like trying to move past and write anew.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You have a podcast called Help.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, my podcast, I've had it for like a year and a half, and I ask comedians the best advice they ever receive. Sometimes people that aren't comics.
Okay.
It's been really cool. It's been a really good way to get to know people and to get to have some like advice from people that I really respect.
I love that. You know, I try to accomplish kind of that same goal here on this show, is talking to people about their careers and, you know, what they've learned in comedy. Has anybody given you an answer to that surprised you?
I think my favorite advice, it was given to me twice, is go where the love is. And that is meant not just, and that is meant kind of like, the way I took it at first is like, I have a predominantly male audience. And for a long time, I was like, I need more women to like me. And I was very focused on how I could have more female fans. And then when I was given that advice, I was like, men are still people. Like, that's the people that love me. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, go where the love is. Like, those, like, accept the people that love you and keep giving to them. And the same thing applies to, like, say there's a club that keeps working you and you are just like, I don't want this club to be working me. I want the bigger club to be working me. Like, just be grateful for the club that's working you and continue to do good work there, kind of thing.
You know, that seems like a very simple lesson, but I think it's probably easier said than done for a lot of people, because I kind of am under the impression from years of being around comedians that a lot of the reason why most comedians do what they do is because they long for acceptance. And when someone isn't accepting them, or something isn't accepted, or that they chase that harder.
Right.
So it's kind of a really simple but very wise statement. Go where the love is.
Yeah.
Listen to help, folks. It sounds great.
It is. It's fun because I've definitely, it tracks my mental health through the last year and a half. And I'm like, oh boy.
So what do you do? Like, if you have to go to a therapist, just say, hey, listen, I'm going to send you like 50 episodes of my podcast and then we'll talk.
No, it's just more like, I feel like it's very candid. It's a very candid representation of my experience in stand-up. So I think if I listened to an episode from like a year ago, I'd be like, whoa, I didn't even remember feeling like that, but I did feel like that.
Wow. So it's a great marker for you too, just to kind of like almost not a diary. Well, I guess it is a diary. A podcast kind of is a diary for anybody, a journal, whatever you want to call it. I call mine a diary. That's just me, though. That's just me. Natalie, you debuted number one on iTunes with your album. That's a huge accomplishment. You're touring the country headlining, and you're performing with Dan Lamorte. And I hear he's fantastic, too. He's going to be here with you this weekend?
Yes.
Awesome.
Dan is amazing. Dan's great because, so Dan's my fiance. He's fucking hilarious.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We both met doing stand-up together at The Stand, and he's so funny. It's fun because everywhere we go, like even in the car on the way here, Todd was like, man, he is so funny. Like he is really hilarious. And I, when like you really,
you're like, more about me, young man, more about me, young man.
When you really love someone, it's like very exciting to see people like see him and then be like, damn, because you're like, yeah, that's my fiance. Like you love them.
So are you guys going to be like the power couple of comedy? Is it coming?
Yeah. All
right. The couple with the power, folks.
Yeah.
So Dan's going to be here for four more shows with Natalie Cuomo. You get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com. We talked a little bit about your podcast. Tell me about what you do on your Twitch stream.
My Twitch stream is cool. It's really important to me. My Twitch stream, I'll chat for like an hour and a half or something. Or I always chat for like a big portion of it. And I also like will pull a tarot card every stream.
Really?
Yep. And then I also play video games. So like I play like Nintendo games like Pokemon and Zelda, which I'm not that good at, and Animal Crossing, Kirby, Mario Kart. AMD just built me a PC, so that's been exciting, and I've been like trying to acclimate to like keyboard and mouse stuff, but that's new and I have acrylic nails, so it's a little bit difficult right now.
Not a blast.
But I've started playing like Portal, and that was a good intro, Binding of Isaac on the PC. It's really fun. It's a good way for me to connect with people that's not directly stand-up, and also kind of to talk about like the behind the scenes of stand-up.
I have found that the folks who are fans of live streaming content generally for the most part are good eggs.
Yeah.
They really are. And I really kind of appreciate the fact that anyone wants to just come and hang out and watch a live stream. That's got to be very cool for audience building for you. Have you found the same experience? Are there people who are completely malignant, or are people generally pretty good?
My Twitch stream was like my saving grace this year. Like for my mental health, because I felt like I really cultivated a community of amazing people. Like I feel that like, not only for me when I see them in person at shows, but when they see each other at shows, like I feel like they've made friends with each other, and it's not just like people watching me play video games. It's like they talk to each other. Like, it's a really awesome world. I do feel like they are good people.
That's awesome. I mean, I hope that, because I feel like the whole world is kind of moving in that direction. And I feel like the streaming communities get a bum rap from people who don't really understand what it's about. They kind of go, oh, it's a bunch of internet nerds that are all going to go mess with each other and swat each other and all that nonsense. But it's not what it all is, baby. It's fun. Everybody's having fun. Check out Natalie Cuomo on Twitch, please. So, Natalie, what's next for you? What are you working on right now?
I am mostly working on, like, writing a new hour. That's definitely the most... that's definitely the most prominent thing for me. I'm like writing some new material that I'm working on. Having just put out an album, I'm like just always thinking of new jokes. And my album, I'm putting it out as a special. So February 14th, it's the video of it is going to come out on my YouTube, which I'm really excited for because I recorded at The Stand and I love the way that they shot it. So I'm excited.
I've seen
about
video
that.
From what they've done. They do nice work.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited to share that. And Dan and I have a ton of road dates coming up. So really just building out a new hour of material is just want to keep getting funnier.
Well, it sounds like you're really busy. Have you guys talked about like a date for this wedding?
We do. We have a date that like our ideal date.
Okay.
Which is July 14, 2024.
Okay.
Just because we like the number 714, like, you know, and you're like, oh, for some reason I look at the clock and I always see 714 like that. I don't know. I don't even know why I'm sharing this, but
and when you divide them together, you get two.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, oh my gosh. It's so cute.
Wow. I have to tell Dan that.
Please don't tell him I said it.
You're like, puke. I'm going to tell him you said it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like,
I feel kind of sick too. After
and he misses you. But yeah, it's expensive to get married, so we're just really looking at what venue is going to give us a discount. So far, zero.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you going to live stream your wedding?
No.
No? Okay.
No. He has, like, a big Italian family, and there are three people alive related to me, so...
Probably not the best move then. All right. Natalie, you can follow her at Natalie Cuomo on Twitter and at Natalie Cuomo _ on Instagram. And as always, you can check her out on Twitch. You're going to have a really good time this weekend at the Carlson. Come see Dan and Natalie. The tickets are available now, 585-484-0265. Thank you for your time, Natalie. Is there anything else we could plug for you this morning?
That's great. I've had such a great time so far. Last night was so much fun. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the weekend.
I heard rave reviews from last night's show.
Yay.
So. Folks, we'll see you next week. Remember, act right, Rochester. We will see you at the show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.